One thing I want to, because we're going to be in, of course, Genesis chapter 1, verse 5. But one thing I want to kind of explain a little bit, you know, as we're going to be learning words and learning phrases, it may seem like, okay, this is an awful lot of technical stuff. But my goal is trying to set in our minds when God says something, it's not just recorded because he just decided to say it. He really is trying to let us know how he thinks. And so when he talks or expresses his words, it's there for us to kind of listen a little more carefully. We went through the first one of, and God said. Remember what God said is? Vayomer. Vayomer. And he said. And so when it's repeated several times, okay, in the first chapter. And sometimes in our English thinking, just get to the point. But when he says something, something had taken place, and sometimes we just say, oh, okay, what's the next event? But yet he's telling us something a little bit more important about each one of those times when he said, and he said. And the other one we talked about was Vayomer. I'm sorry. Vayad. Vayod. Vayar. I get bounced away. Vayar. And it says, and he saw. So when God saw something, now when we think of the book of Genesis, the chapter 1, if he said something, why does he have to come back and say he saw? I mean, obviously, if he's creating it, why would he let us know that he was seeing something? So kind of like, no, what's the point? Mm-hmm. But he wants us to know that what he has created, he sees, and it's ketov. And we went through ketov before. Because good. And so when God sees with his eye what he has created, he's telling us, I said, Vayomer, let there be light. And he saw that it was good. It's just not a simple little message. It's something that God wants us to understand, that he, when he creates something, he brings something about, he establishes something that is holy and just and good. It's going to be ketov. He said it several times, ketov. It's a really nice phrase, because good. That's all it really says, because good, in simple English language. And so now we are on Genesis, the fifth chapter. And now we have another phrase that comes up. Vayomer. Fifth verse. Vayomer. Well, there's a vav, a yod, a k, and a resh. A v, a y, a k, and an R. I guess it's the way to put that way in English. I never know. It's really hard for me to translate them back the other direction. I just start to think, what is the words I read about in Hebrew?
By Yuka.
And he called. Chapter, verse 5. That's also the name of another of a book. What's the name of that book? Leviticus. First word comes on and it says, and he calls. Now, it's important for us to pay attention now at this point, we're in Genesis here, of and he called. Now, the word call has a lot of different meanings. It can mean to bring forth or to call out, and it can have a meaning of addressing something by a proper name. But we're looking here, and he says now, and he called the light, or yom, he called the yom what?
He called it day.
Right?
Called the light.
Now he gives a what you would call a name or he gives a word, he gives something, he calls out. And basically in Hebrew, this says, and he, God, to light day, to darkness night. So he's talking to. Laom. You have a lamed? Always means to or at. So he is to something. He's looking at something called light. And now he says day. And we'll get into the meaning of these words just a little while. But now he's addressing not mankind. He's addressing something. He is addressing the light. And now he is called the light. He is calling the light, or he is addressing the light. And now he's going to say, and I'm going to give you a name or describe what you are. We'll get to the Yom minute. And when that describes it, then he goes on and says, now I'm going to talk to Hoshek, the darkness. Call you this. Call you night. So it's not an inanimate. It's like God, when he created something, now he forms it and he says, okay, now we're going to now give it a name. Or I'm going to call it by this name. Or I'm going to address it by this name. This is how I will address it. Now we have in this particular verse, we'll find out a little bit more, the latter part of it, why it's called the evening and the morning. Hopefully I will get there today. And it's a very fascinating phrase. So when God, the root word basically means to call or to call out or to address or to proclaim. Read aloud also can mean reading something aloud. When you read and you use this Hebrew word of to call, you are actually reading out loud, whether you're reading out loud to yourself or reading out loud to somebody else. And the same basic root word, same basic meaning, that now it's calling out, you're crying out, you know, crying in the first cry in the wilderness. He is calling out. Something is being addressed. Something is being stated, right? So when God opened up his mouth and he called out something, he's making a statement. Right? Does that make sense to us? All right. Verse 8 is the very same thing. And God called the firmament heaven. So now we have this one is called, we won't go through what the separation of the firmament right now. We'll go into this thing. And now he says now, Va'yikra Elohim, Barika Elohim, firmament. So now he's calling out to, he's addressing the firmament, and he's saying, this is what you are now called. What do you call it? Well, he calls it the heaven. We'll talk about that later. And then the rad part, verse 10, and God called the dry land, Eret, dry land, earth. And the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And he saw that it was good. So now when he called them up, he gave them a name, he gave them a title, he gave them what they are. And he says, by the way, when I called the dry land earth, it was. Why? Because it's good. I called the waters seas. Why? Because it's good. We haven't broken up the word. We broke up the word Eretz, or the land. We haven't broken up the word sea yet. It has not yet been. It's a different word than Mayim. It's hard, a different word. Chapter 2, verse 19. And out of the ground the Lord God made, formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. Okay? And whatever Adam called them, every living creature, that's what its name became. So this point in time of chapter 2, now it's man who's going to give names to things. From the very beginning of chapter 1, there's certain things God gave names to. One of them he gave names to was light. Another one he gave a name to was darkness. Now, he's got two different words here. And we later on, we find out a very interesting phrase. We'll get to that in a minute. Of why it's called evening and morning. Remember I told you before that evening comes first, right? Then the morning. And has association. If we break down the word, we'll find out that how it can relate and does relate to what the Messiah is doing. He has come as a thief in the night. Basically, and biblically speaking, he comes in the middle of the night. Like midnight. And we'll go into that today, but understand that this is the reason why at the time of the plagues of Egypt and the death angel, when did it strike? In the mid of the night. And so it kind of lets you have an idea about the picture. Now, not physically we're talking about, but the picture that this world will be in Hoshech when he comes. Because what did he say? Will the Son of Man find what? When he comes? Faith when he comes? No, he's going to find Hoshech. He's going to find a lot of darkness. And he's going to strike the earth or come on the earth when it's at its darkest point. You've always heard that phrase, stay right darkest just before the dawn. I never really understood that because, hey, wait a minute, I can start seeing light before the sun comes up. No, it meant at midnight, the turning point is at midnight. At the darkest point before the dawn starts to come. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it's an old phrase. Sometimes we pick up, we don't fully have a picture of it, but we have the very same thing in the relationship to the Messiah, that when the darkest point of the night or darkest point of the history of mankind, especially, it would be more clarification, the darkest point of the troubles of Jacob. All right, let's get down to that's what really it's all about. Because he's not really about China, Africa. He's actually about the darkest point, the worst point, the most drastic point, I would say, of hopelessness. Okay, so I think when we look at our world, we look at Israel today, it's probably not at its darkest point yet of its worth, of desperation. Because what does it say? I will not come until you say what?
Blessed
he who comes in the name of the Lord. So it's got to be a really a bad situation taking place. And the book of Matthew, when you read that part, the 24th chapter, the tribulation is centered around Jerusalem, Judea, and that part of the country. And of course, all the prophecies aim at the very same place, right? So with this part in mind, we're talking about the darkness, or we talk about something that's going to be coming, and God made a statement saying, okay, I'm going to call this one from Hoshech to, what's the other word? Laila. Darkness, or night. By the way, the word Yom, very interesting word. Very simple meaning of the word Yom. All it means, literally speaking, is heat. Not that what you put on the stove and heat the stove up. It means it's changing something that was cold to something that is warm. Not necessarily hot, as we think of the word hot in our English language. There is a Hebrew word for hot. It's definitely different than this one. And when I talk about the light brings forth something, the light brings forth warmth. All right, light brings forth that which is pleasing unto God, because God said it was good, right? Okay.
What about darkness?
Hoshech.
Night.
Right, well, we'll get in that in a minute. Just right now, we'll clarify the word light first, day first. Day has an awful lot of different kind of biblical phrases in it and biblical meaning. It can mean what we think of 24 hours. And also can remain all just the daylight portion of the 24 hours. It also can refer to a time and event that has passed or time event that is going to occur. You know, we have this thing, the day of the Lord. Yom. And it's not referring to any particular daylight or nighttime, figured to a particular period of time. So Genesis chapter 2. verse 17, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat it, for in the day, or be-yom, thou shalt eat of it, thou shalt surely die. Well, we know from history, when he partook of it, in, quote, that day, he didn't die, did he? No, but he's in the process of, you are going to be in the process of, and it's the beginning of, your dying. You're going to die now, in the process of dying. Not a particular day, but a period of time. We'll get to that in a minute. Genesis chapter 3, verse 5. For God knows that in the day ye eat thereof, your eyes will be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And there is that word in the day, or what we call day. Now, day in this case doesn't mean, in a literal sense, warmth. It means a time period. And so when she partook of it, that was the beginning of, or the reshit of, both she and Adam, of learning what it is to be knowledgeable of good and evil. That was the beginning, what's it called, the beginning of the downfall of man, what's called the fall of man in an awful lot, but it was actually not the fall, it's the beginning of the falling. Man has not really come down yet, all the way yet. Well, God will deliver him out of the great fall. That's a promise from God. And then chapter 5, verse 1. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created him. Now, God created Adam, it said, in the sixth day, right? I mean, his generation started then? Well, yeah, it did in one way. But in the same sense, we're talking about now, this is after Cain and Abel. Now we have a whole new line of family. It doesn't start with Cain and Abel, if you pay attention to verse 5. It starts with Seth. So now the day that he created Adam doesn't mean way back then. The day he created Adam, now the generation starts or begins to be counted at this point from Seth onward. It's just a biblical phrase to understand where that comes from. Chapter 4, verse 3, and the process of time came to pass. Here's this time, which is the same thing as the word day. We'd use the word day. What's the time? The process of time. It's really awkward there in Hebrew to try to explain it, but to literally in that very first place, it says, and it came with course, it with day. That it means that an event took place. So what took place is what the it is, or what when it says here literally in Hebrew, he came and he with it day. Doesn't mean you have to have a, remember in Hebrew you have to have a masculine or feminine. And here we're talking about what took place there. Now, what took place there was a killing. So that was the beginning of that process of time. And so it says, in that time, and basically it says, in the course of time, or in that time it came, or in that course of day, that course of yom, then it began. Chapter 30, verse 33. So shall my righteousness, this is Abraham, answer for me in the day to come. In that day, or in the time. His righteousness will come at some time he didn't know when. So we have one going through here. Is that Yom has a lot of different meanings. Basically, we're going to go back to Genesis chapter 1 now. So you have a picture. It does not just mean 24 hours. But it's something very fascinating about this particular chapter. So Genesis chapter 1, verse 5 again. Vayikra Elohim. Called the day, light day, and called darkness, a hoshech, called Layla. There we go. I'll get it out yet. What's happening in Hebrew is real strange because you'll read it, see it written. I got to draw this up there. If I pronounce the word law, it's not supposed to be law. It's lay. It's lit lie. It's very fascinating in Hebrew. When you see... oh. We see a lamed, or a vav, or a mem, or some other word. And it has the long A sound, or even has this sound on it. And there's a yod. You don't pronounce the ah. It changes to sound to lie. That's why lie, lie, lie. I keep forgetting to do that, but look at written. I want to pronounce it as law, but it's lie. Every time you have the A sound, the ah sound, and a yod next to it, it's always lie. It's one of those unusual rules in the Hebrew language. I have to keep trying to remember to do that. But every time so it's lai, laila, laila. Even though it's spelled with a dash. There are some exceptions to the rules when you take a look at Hebrew. All right. Now, it's a very interesting word. The root word a lamed, a vav, and a lamed. And it's pronounced as lu. Got a little lu. Now, listen to an interesting word. Helps explain why it's called night. All right? When we get to this word night, it'll help to explain a little bit about why day becomes the dawn. All right? It means to literally to twist away the light. Turn the light so brightness, now it turns to twisting it where it is no longer light and now it is nighttime or it's dark time. It's very fascinating where the root of that word comes from. So we're looking at this thing and he says, now what I'm going to tell you is that this word, it means, also has another meaning of to fold back. I'm folding something back. The root word. Now it has two different meanings within of and by itself. One is that it twists the light, and the other one, it folds back. Or it's going to be folded back. Okay, it's just interesting knowing that that word means to, the basic root word means to fold or fold back, or to twist in the noun form. And so he has now, we have a picture of something that's going to happen. Now he calls the night, or calls the darkness. Now the darkness does something. It folds back or twists back. Now we know what happens, don't we? When darkness comes, what happens to the light? It disappears. It goes into nothingness. It goes to where it's in what we call night. Or it has been folded back. The light has been folded back. We don't think of the light folding back because we think of the rising sun, right? But there is another part of the sun, right? What does it do? The setting of the sun. It's being rolled back. Being folded back in a circular pattern. Now think of the world. Think of it being in a circuit, so it's being rolled. You understand what I'm saying? Basically, it's the earth that's being rolled, but the earth is rolling on an axis, and it's rolling away from the sun. And we have also the reverse of it. It rolls toward the sun, the dawn. All right? So I have an interesting word about, we're going to talk about the darkness now, or the light. Light and darkness. Is that too hard to understand that little simple phrase? Kind of simple little meaning of word, isn't it? It's something that's going to be rolled back or hold back or something that twists in a sense that you can't twist light. It doesn't mean twisting it by distorting it, but it can mean twisting it by distorting it. Is that not true? Because the angel of death or the angel of darkness can come as what? As, but he really doesn't, he's not really light. So we have a double meaning here on this word, don't we? The devil is of darkness. He is a hokshek. At the very same time, he can appear to be om, or light, and he twists the light. Do you understand what I'm saying? But hard to get a picture of? He takes something that is holy and pollutes it. We live in a world today, in our country, where we have really believed with every part of our being in this country and around the world, especially this country, that good is not good. Good is corrupt. But bad is not bad. Bad is not corrupt. You can't twist. You can't change what God changed. But mankind tries to do his very best to say this is what is holy to God. And I'll be recorded here. What is holy to God is man and wife becoming one. What is unholy is man and man becoming one and woman and woman becoming one. But if you know in the state, in the country of Canada, you cannot read the Bible publicly. You'll be arrested. It's considered a hate book. And it's really kind of like, well, that's weird. Turning good to evil, evil to good. Now they take the whole word of living God and saying it's evil. It's a hate book. It's wickedness. You've got a really close one. America's slowly coming around to that way of thinking. It's just a matter of time. And when that reaches that point, my personal belief is that's part of the darkness or the troubles of Jacob. God's not going to bring on trouble of Jacob because, that's prophecy. No, he's going to bring trouble and trials upon the house of Jacob, all the house of Jacob, because they have taken what according to Scripture has said, that which is good you have called evil, that which you which is sweet you have called bitter, that which you have called holy as unholy, that which you have called clean is unclean. He's not addressing the world when he made that prophecy. This whole book we read right before us, we have possession in our hands, is aimed at the house of Israel, all the tribe of Jacob, all of them. And if we hear it, we respond to it, we believe it, we can be held held free from it. Here's another thing. You know, one song, let's change the subject a minute. There's a song that we sing, and today we sang it. It's On Your Walls, O Jerusalem. There's a phrase in that statement which I thought was very fascinating, and it just kind of struck me. You who know the Lord, do not keep silent. That's a powerful statement. You who know who Yahweh is, do not keep silent. All right, you understand? Doesn't mean you have to stand up and fight for him, but just don't keep silent. Yeah, if someone talks to you and says, okay, this is contrary to I know the Lord. He says, this is an abomination, regardless of who you're talking to. Sometimes you talk to a dear friend. Sometimes you talk to an enemy. Sometimes you talk to a total stranger. But when the conversation comes up and you say, that is unclean, I don't mean physical food now. I mean the conduct, the way of life, how they live is unholy. You who know the Lord, do not keep silent. Yes?
Well, Richard, that's what's happening now. Right now, it's getting to the point where if you speak up outside of a congregation like this,
right,
if you speak out in public, let's just say homosexuality is a sin, right? I mean, they're trying to make us silent at this point. They're doing a very good job because people are afraid to speak out because you know it's going to cost us because we can end up being tried for hate crimes.
Right. Now, granted, it's really, stupid, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's how corrupt we have become in our society in this country, and I don't know about any other one. I don't have any other one. Yeah. So anyway, do you understand a little bit what I'm saying? That when we talk about Lailah It's a nice word, means night. No, God said he called it that way. That's what it is. But there's a double meaning behind these two things. And one of them is that it twists or turns. We think twist by corruption. It twists, but it turns that which once was to something else on a spiritual plane. Okay? Now, in the very beginning, he's telling us something of what has happened, what's going to happen. This is a prophecy. The first chapter is a total prophecy of all the history of mankind. The very first chapter. Everything in it. Okay. Now, we'll go on now to, don't need to say any more about that. Let's go on to the latter part of it. And the evening and the morning were the first day. All of a sudden, we've got two new words. Oh, wait a minute. There is all yom. There's om, and there's poshet. Now that is yom, and on the order, rather, it's light. The yom is day, and now we have this night replacing the name of darkness. And now we have this other two words that come on the scene. It's very fascinating, right? And he says, Ereth. And Bukar, were the Echad. So the first time the word Echad shows up. I'm very fascinated about these two words, though. The first word, which is we have Erev. We have Erev Shabbat. We always say Erev Shabbat. It basically has a meaning that, what? It grows dark. It starts getting dark. It's becoming darkness toward what's called, we call it the evening. In the other words, it becomes evening or grows dark, part of a speech, right? So now we have this Erev, which is now, see, we think of darkness, we think of night, we think of day, right? But it says the evening and the morning. Why didn't he say the night and the day were the first day? He didn't, did he? He called them differently. Now there's another calling out. Something is beginning to approach. The first thing approaches in Scripture is what? Erev. Erev is the first thing that approaches. What happened in the very beginning? Darkness was upon the face of the earth. Choshech was on the depth of the earth. And what removed the Choshech? The order. Removed the order. Now the Erev is going to come and repeat itself again. It'll start bringing forth, Erev is going to start bringing forth the Laila, which is Choshech. And then, of course, this is Boker. I mean, the Boker is going to do just the opposite. It's going to bring from that Choshech or Laila, Laili, up into what's called the morning. And so we look at this thing, we say morning. How's it worded now? The evening and the morning were the first day. Now we have sometimes in our mind, our thinking, the evening and the morning. And so we have, to the best of our ability, we try to picture in our minds, that's really referring to darkness and light. Right? We have that picture. Why does he say this? Have you ever wondered about why the words changed? See, sometimes we just read and say, okay, it must mean that, it must mean this, it must mean that. Now, vocaler means, consonant verb means to plow or to bring forth. All right? Vocaler means to bring forth. So now we have Erev, which is going to do something for it. What's it going to do? It's going to bring in or begin the folding in of the darkness. And the Boker is going to bring forth the light. or the day, the daylight time. Okay? Does that make sense so far? Because we have these two words. One is going to take away and fold. It begins with taking something away. The next one, the light comes and it restores it back. Right? In the middle of the night, it turns where it starts setting. Technically speaking, the dawn really kind of begins in the middle of the night. Or Bukhara begins in the middle of the night. We have a hard time in our thinking because, see, in our world, our day begins at midnight. That should not be so strange. That should not be so backward. That should not be so weird. Because at midnight, something changes. The Bukhara begins. It starts then. Now, it doesn't come to a full light until noonday, and then, of course, it turns. The Erev begins to do its job at noon. Does that make sense to you, what I'm saying? So it's not unusual for societies or for people to get confused or even take a look at it and say, oh, it's midnight to midnight. No, it's noon to midnight. No, when is the daytime? Well, it's 6 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock at night. When's the night? Well, it's at 6 o'clock in the evening, 6 o'clock in the morning. We have all these meanings of all these different words. Yet at the very same time, we have to look and say, why is it that God used these two words? One's bringing forth, if I can use that, or folding up the light, causing it to turn dark. And the next one is, does the opposite. It opens up or plows open. It removes the darkness, and then you have the light.
Richard, I heard it once said that 12 midnight to 3 o'clock in what we would call 3 o'clock in the morning is the night part of the morning.
Correct.
The night part of the morning part of the
correct.
Night.
That's correct.
And then from 3 in the morning to 6 a.m. is the morning part of the night.
Correct.
And then the day begins.
That's correct. That's Hebrew.
Yes.
You'll find the book of Exodus when they start leaving.
Yeah.
And that's when they start left. You left that morning at midnight. You left that morning at midnight.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a really odd statement.
Meaning
that you're beginning to come. The Bukhara is beginning to move. You are moving from this world of darkness. You're beginning to move forward. You got a long ways to go.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
And it's just a picture of that. But that's true. Yes.
I'm looking here in Ezekiel 3:17. I can't find it in Hebrew, but and maybe this isn't the right reference. But in when it says that, like Son of Man, I've made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me. And it must be later in Ezekiel. But it's in Ezekiel, the word watchman.
Notzri.
Notzri. And they're called, for short, they're called Notzis. And the Hebrews in Israel call Christians Notzi.
Yes.
Because the word Notzri happens in our Bible to be translated watchman. And they just know, Notzri in Hebrew means covered. And they figure the Christians are cover themselves. We don't tell the truth. We be there, and then we.
Well, how? In a sense, the Christians. When it says, you know, you who know the Lord,
yeah.
Do not keep silent. You know when? Sometimes we in for all practical purposes, Christian, he's going to be speaking when it's dark. I mean, you're not going to speak to people who already are in the light. What are you going to tell them? They already know the Lord, therefore they don't have to be, you know what's going on. But you're going to be speaking to someone who's in Hoshek. Oh, Hoshek, darkness. And that's the function. So when you have this thing about the Notes 3, I understand what you're saying here a little bit, and that, yeah, the Christian's going to be talking when it's dark. Maybe when it's beginning to get dark, and maybe before. I want to go now to the very last part. My service is almost over here. And it's this last fascinating word of Echad. What do you think it means?
It's one.
Means one, okay. In the noun form, it means one, yes.
does it also mean completed?
In the noun form, it does mean one, singular. Okay? Just a minute. When it says the Lord your God is Echad, that means singular. It's not the verb form. But it comes from a verb form. You understand what I'm saying so far? This is a fascinating thing about the verb form. It doesn't mean two. It means coming together. Coming together in unity. The seven churches that are in the book of Revelations are to come together in Echad. All seven of them. So it's not limited to two. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
You're coming together. You're going to be gathered together. When he says to gather yourselves unto the Lord, he's got a lot of people have to come to Echad with the Lord. They're coming together at oneness with God. All right? Being in unity with God. And when Messiah said, let them be one as we are one, he's referring to being not a unity, but in the noun form. One. This is the reason why the commandment says the Lord your God is one God. He is not a unity. He is one. Now, we go back. Why did he use the word Echad for? A lot of words being used. This one here, it has to do with the word unity. Okay, that is the verb form of it. And or a collective, that which being collected together. Things being collected together. You collect all your money together into one pile, that's an echad. When your process of doing, you're in the process of echading, and once it's echading is finished, now it's just echad. Okay, do you understand what I'm saying? So it's a very fascinating word. Now, what did he combine together?
Day and night.
Evening and morning. He combined them together in unity or in collectiveness as one. This is now, and he calls it day. Why did he not call it another name? Why did he call this evening and morning day when he just got through saying earlier, right? Light now is called day, and Choshech is now called night.
Because the morning brings forth the heat for the day.
What is he bringing together here in the unity of the first day? You see this unity going in between these two, right?
The plowing of light through the darkness.
The evening first, and then the morning. He's making them echad. He brought them together as a echad. Cycle, okay. Repetition, repeating itself. Now remember, God said something. He told.
It's as a picture also, isn't it, of what is happening from going from the darkness into the light?
Largest toward the light. That is correct. We are to work 6 days of the week, right? And the Word of God says it's foolish to work for 12 hours. Call it foolishness, work 12 hours. Don't work 12 hours, he says. It's foolishness. Well, what's he talking about? 12 hours a night? 12 hours daytime? 12 hours a week? No, just 12 hours. From the axis, from the time the sun rises to the time set, technically, is what he's saying. To work all that period of time. Why? Well, he's got a period where he's going to give, and he gives our beloved sleep, and so therefore he goes to the night as the beloved sleep. All human beings come to get to sleep in the darkness. Because you can't sleep in the light, it's too bright, right? It's very hard. So he's uniting something together here. He's uniting two things that, and when he created them now, he didn't create the day, an event. Actually, he created an event in place, and it took place of just talking about just the night or the or and the Choshech of night and darkness. And now he's changed the names, right? He's going to convert them, alter them into an action, into what they are. God calls them as what he's going to make them. So now he's going to take this Choshech, and he's going to change it into light, and he's going to change it into Erev, evening. Three different words. for the same thing. We have three different words. No, two different words for light, right? Just order and day. So he's bringing night into unity with the day. He's bringing unity with you and thy walk and live in the darkness or in the darkness. He's going to bring us out of that darkness. He's going to bring us into Boker, and then that is united with not another name, not another word, but with the word day, which he said in the very beginning, that's the name of light. Do you understand what I'm saying? But one takes away, the other unfolds, plows it up, and reveals it. And you and I are coming out and have been coming out of darkness. What did the Apostle Paul say? You're not children of what? The night. You're the children of the light. Do you see the picture here? So the first move we see here is the first thing God's going to do is going to bring the world, you and me, and basically the house of Israel, out from its Hoshech and into the Lila, into the Erev, and then bring it from there all the way through to the light, or to the day, which is also called light. Right? And Yom means warmth. We always like a nice, warm, cozy place to live, right? Well, nice, warm place. I says nice, warm, and cozy place. All right? So I kind of explained a little bit. It's just a way of looking at things. You don't have to, you know, it may be, make a little confusion here, but hope you have a little picture that when I see what's written there, I see a spiritual concept going on that is telling us way in the very beginning how God pictures things. And the interesting thing about this, and I was wanting to get this ready ahead today, because I think it's a very, very fascinating thing, how he brings forth what's technically Hoshech and converts it into light or Yom. Okay? It's kind of low. That's his first step. Then we go through day two, day three, day four, day five, day six, which they don't use those same words because day two does not mean Echad. It doesn't mean a collection. It means something else. Things are being separated again. Okay. That's it. Any more questions? Hope this has been interesting. You know, I want to try to, I know it's a little hot today and it's a little stuffy, but I just want you to know that when I read these things and kind of find out what the words mean, and we have a picture of what God had said in the very beginning, what he called the very beginning, and what he saw in the very beginning, it's not a bunch of words. It's telling us an event that's taking place, even on the very first day.